Oh, once again upon this night as we approach unto thee. Father, I just wanted to worship thee, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, just to give ourselves to thee, to thank you that you've given us a chance to come in the midst of the week. Father, to sit at your feet and to call upon your name. And Father, we know that if we come hungry, we'll never go away the same. Father, you said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. And Father, we're thirsting for that fellowship with you. Father, that which we need in this age, that which we need at this time. Father, as we open up the scriptures, Father, we just need you to commune with us, Lord. And all that is said upon this night, Father, help the preeminence in the lives of your people be glorified in each soul. Overshadow us, Lord, upon this night. Them that aren't here, will you pray for them, Lord, at home, the sisters and people at work in different places. Bless your people upon this night. Father, thank you that you've given us the privilege once again to call upon the name, to serve and to worship thee. And Father, we dedicate all to you now. Be glorified, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, God bless you this evening. We greet you in Jesus' name. Let's open the book of Zechariah, chapter 10. Realizing that it's a Wednesday evening. Just trying to find something to bridge things a little bit. Yes, brother. Zechariah chapter 10, let's read verse 1. It's a good scripture, speaking about what should you ask of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain.
Amen.
So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. It's a good thing to ask the right thing at the right time. Let's read Joel chapter 2 as well. Again, speaking about the former and the latter rain. Joel 2, verse 23. We know the scripture pretty well. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. The prophet says, that's the bride. And rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the Lord blesses where you may be seated, saints. Just wanting this evening to try to bridge a little bit from what we're speaking on the weekend, speaking about the third pull, speaking about, you know, what is laying ahead for the bride, where are we living in, and also certain questions that people ask about spiritual experience, because you know that the way the Lord deals with the church is exactly the same way that he deals with the individual. There was the stage of justification through Luther, sanctification through Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts to perfection. So exactly the way the Lord has been dealing with the church is exactly the way that he deals with the individual. So when we're looking at this former and latter rain, we'd like to look this evening more down the line of the individual. But it's something which should help us by the grace of God when you get to Sunday, because the prophet says that the third pull falls with the latter rain. He says, we're waiting for that rain. He says, that final quickening, that harvest rain that comes. And we're living in that season as we're ushering these things in. But it's the same as if you're looking at the individual life. So looking at the former and the latter rain, to those who don't know much about it, is that if you go to Israel, around the time now in Israel, you find it comes into a season of rain. And then you find another season comes in around the season of March, April. We have the season of the former rain, the season of the latter rain. And the reason that there's these two different periods where the Lord really pours out his blessing, he pours out showers upon the nation of Israel, is because he's trying to bring seed to the harvest. That's the whole aim. So in order to get the seed germinated, to soften the earth so the seed can be sown, we have the former rain. The former rain is the sowing rain, the teaching rain, the prophet calls it. In spoken word is the original seed. So there's got to be something that comes when the seed is sown. That there's got to be something that comes to germinate the seed, to bring that seed to life. But when that seed now comes to life, when it germinates, it starts to put forth the blade and so forth, or the little shoots that start to come forth, there comes a season where the rain isn't as intense. And you find that there's just a growth now. There's a process of growth. There's still showers. There's still things that take place in the field. But it's a time now where that seed, which has been germinated, which has come to life under the former rain, it has to mature. It has to make progress. It has to grow. Now, Jesus speaks about it in Mark chapter 4 when he says, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. So there's a continual progress which you find in the seed. It has to have a starting point. That seed can sit in the granary. The prophet says they found the seed from the days of Joseph. Back there, the granaries of Egypt, when it was 3,000, 4,000 years ago, and they plant it, and you give it the right conditions, it's going to grow. Amen. So the principle of life is in the seed. But for that seed to come forth and start to bring forth of its own kind, there's got to be something that takes place to the seed at the beginning of the process.
Yeah.
And that's why there's always the question, where it's a good question. It's come up many times recently, even in the forum that we have with the brothers. We have like a forum with brothers from back home who have scattered around the world. But you find that question always comes up when people say, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is it a singular experience? Or, you know, we're looking at the new birth. Is that not a process? Is that not something which takes time? You know, the stature of a perfect man, and then, you know, all these kind of things. And people think, but if you can have, can the baptism of the Holy Ghost as an experience fully equip a person unto perfection? And if you understand the former and the latter, and you'll understand this. Because you've got to have something. There's got to be a rain that comes upon the seed to start the process of it towards the harvest. And then there's got to be another rain at the end which brings it to perfection. So it's the same as the new birth. The new birth starts off with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's got to progress on from there. There's got to be development and growth. Because when the seed germinates, when you first, like the prophet says, you have to pour a little bit of water upon the cabbage to get it to start growing. That's not yet the full development of what was inside of the seed. But that first experience that the seed has when the former rain comes upon it, it starts now to express, it brings the seed to life.
Amen.
And it starts to bring forth, and something starts to grow from it. And if the showers continue to come and the conditions are right, everything that was inside of that seed, the potential, is going to start expressing itself. It's going to be pushing out. It's going to be a process of growth. But the aim that the farmer puts the seed in the field is for the harvest time. And he wants that seed to come to perfection. He wants it to come to the fullness of maturity in the ear, so that he can take it and take it to his garner. And that's the purpose. He wants that seed to bring forth of its own kind. And that's what adoption is now. That's why there's new birth unto adoption. The aim that God sends the Holy Ghost upon the soul of a believer first is to bring the seed to life.
Amen.
There's got to be something in the beginning of your Christian walk to germinate the seed. Otherwise, that seed just stays a dry seed. You will never express anything which you are ordained to express. But when you have that early experience in your Christian life, that something, it brings something to life inside of you. And something starts to express itself spiritually in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for.
Amen.
That's why there's no beginning point really for a believer. Amen. Justification is fine, but it doesn't do much to the seed.
Amen.
You know, sanctification is good, but it's cleaning out your life. But in order for you to express the ministry and the calling that you are called for, that's why the prophet says the Holy Ghost gives power for service.
Amen.
So this is the something that comes upon the seed, that spiritual experience that comes into the predestinated soul of a believer. Amen. And you now start to express what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. But that's not the end of it, because you're still a child. The one sister asked it the other day, and I just took the quote where Brother Branham says, and he says, that's where the Pentecostal church got it wrong. They thought when you received the Holy Ghost, that was all of it. He says, that was just the beginning.
Amen.
He says, now you just having received the Holy Ghost are now in a condition to be able to develop and to grow in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And friends, without the Holy Ghost personally in the experience of a believer, you will never stand the test. Because the Holy Ghost is the power that you need to overcome.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is the power that you need to understand.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Ghost is the power that you need to become what you're supposed to become. He's the tutor, he's the teacher, he's the guide. He's your all in all. And that's how the most important thing at the beginning of a believer's life should be, that experience inside of your soul that does something for you, that changes you. You know, the prophet says there's no certain evidence. Because when we were in Pentecost, we really believed it was tongues, speaking in tongues. We really did. That was the supreme experience to us. But then when you got into the message, we started to realize that tongues was good. But there's far more than that.
Amen.
There's far more than that God wants people to express. You know, and we were those kind of people. We said, we're going in the rapture because we received the Holy Ghost. That's good, but the people that go in the rapture are those that progress and develop and come to maturity. Because He's coming to take a harvest. Yes. When the seed becomes golden brown, the prophet says. When it's no more green and so forth. So there's got to be this progress in somebody's experience. But it's got to have a starting point. And that starting point cannot be an intellectual starting point. Because something in your intellect is not going to stand the test of time.
Amen.
You know, when everybody else lets you down and you don't understand what's going on in the message and you've got questions that you can't answer, now your intellectual faith doesn't help you at a time like that. But the teacher, Jesus is the comforter. He says He will lead you into all truth.
Amen.
That's how He shepherds you. That's how He teaches you. It's an inside teacher. And that is the reason that a believer, you've got to have a former rain. You've got to have something that starts the process. But that's just starting the process. You haven't finished the process yet.
Amen.
You know, this farmer's planted the seed with a vision, a purpose in his mind. And when the little shoots start to come forth, he's not yet seeing the fully developed plant which he had in his mind. That's going to take a process of growth. It's going to take development and pushing out and overcoming and different things to bring it into that kind of a condition. And then the latter rain now it comes in. And the latter rain comes just at harvest time now. When it's just about time for the harvest. And the latter rain comes and it brings the final quickening to the crop. I'll just read what they say. They say, in the east, the former rain falls at the sowing time. That's how for the message to have germinated properly in the experience of a believer, there's got to have been a spiritual experience at the same time. Now you can't teach someone the message. So many people are baptized and never go on anywhere in the experience because there was no former rain experience when the seed was sown. Somebody's convinced them, somebody's told them, you know, they followed the teaching of somebody else. But when there's a real spiritual something that accompanies the word that's preached, then God comes and visits your soul and brings the anointed word with the Holy Ghost into the soul, it's going to start something going. And that's why it's the sowing time. You know, the prophet, we know in spoken word, a little original seed, he says that's what that great revival was for from 1948 all the way up to 1957. He says that was the sowing time. Oral Roberts went out and sowed the Pentecostal seed. Billy Graham went out and he sowed the denominational seed. And the prophet says, and the word was sown.
Amen.
He says, and that's why there was that great revival with the healing and the raising of the dead. You know, that great anointed presence of God that swept the globe in such a mighty revival, which people never understood until the prophet came and said, that was the former rain. That was the teaching rain. The seed had to be sown, but if there wasn't a showers that come with the seed, it would never germinate and grow. But now there's a process that seed has to go through, and now we come into the harvest time. And the latter rain brings the seed to maturity. That ear of corn or that ear of wheat, it takes the latter rain, heavy rainfall, which comes and really beats down upon that maturing crop. And then it starts to fill out inside of the ear, brings it to a maturity, brings it to full development, just in time for the sickle to come and take it to the garden. That's why it says it's necessary, the former rain, in order that the seed may germinate. Under the influence of those fertilizing showers, the tender shoot springs up. Then the latter rain, falling near the close of the season, ripens the grain and prepares it for the sickle.
Amen.
You know, so we're living in that time. The latter rain is coming in. We already are under the latter rain. But the full force of the latter rain to bring that final something that changes you into the image of the original wheat, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now that's what's coming. That's what the prophet says. It's coming. He says, watch with the counsel of Titus. Watch the rain then, he says. Watch the latter rain then. So the latter rain, it ripens the earth's harvest in the spiritual sense. That's what it comes and it does. And the prophet says, whatever seed you've sown in your field, that's what you're going to reap.
Amen.
So when the latter rain comes, it's going to be a revival, friends. And the denominations are going to have a revival, but you know what it's going to do? It's going to take them into the World Council of Churches. Because that's the seed that has been sown. It's going to take them right into that quickened, they're going to be quickened right into the World Council of Churches. Because that's the seed that's sown. But to the sons and daughters of God, that final quickening of the seed brings forth exactly what was sown in the life of a believer. That's why it's so very, very important, the condition of your life when the word is sown. That's why Jesus spoke about it. Some seed fell in the wayside, some fell among the thorns, some was eaten by the birds and so forth, but some fell on prepared ground, and it brought forth of its own kind. Some 20-fold, 30-fold, 100-fold. Then we can have the message, but it needs that anointed presence in your soul. It needs listening to the message with that Holy Ghost atmosphere there. Then it's going to be able to take a root, and it's going to start expressing itself and bring forth of its own kind. That's the importance of that kind of former rain. It says, but unless the former rain has fallen, there'll be no life.
Amen.
You can sow as much seed as you want in your field. But if there was no former rain that came upon that to germinate that seed, when the latter rain comes, it means nothing. There's nothing for it to quicken in the field. You see, that's why you've got to have both of these. You've got to have that experience in the beginning. You know, and still, we'll see it as we go. That's why it says, unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. But if the former rain has done its work, if you've really been born of the Spirit, you'll then go through your testing time, development of character, all the things you have to go through. But now you have the earnest in you already. You already have the earnest of your inheritance. And when the latter rain comes now, there's the correct thing for quickening, for that final quickening. But it's got to start off with the former rain. And that's why the latter rain comes, it fills out the ear and so forth. The prophet says the same Holy Ghost that justifies is the same Holy Ghost that sanctifies.
Amen.
And it's the same Holy Ghost that gives you power for service. Then he says, and it's the same Holy Ghost that gives you rapture and faith.
Amen.
It's just the development from one stage to another. You know, and it's just making sure that in the season and the time that you're living in, you take advantage of the season and the time.
Amen.
That you seek the rain. That's what you need. You need the continual showers of rain. Now we know that rain always typifies in the scripture, typifies the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. These are anointings that come. And when you find God sending an anointing, you know, it's interesting if you look at the word anointing in the Bible, what it really means. Because an anointing comes for a purpose. God doesn't send an anointing for nothing. Just as much as the rain comes in a season for a purpose. You sow your seed, that rain is coming to do something to that seed. So that seed can express itself. If you've got wheat in the field, the rain's coming so you can have wheat. If there's corn, it's going to bring forth corn. The same as the anointing. God sends the anointing to bring forth a manifestation of something. Whatever seed, whatever characteristics he wants to bring forth, he anoints to bring forth a manifestation of something. If God's called you to pray for the sick, there'll come an anointing that's going to quicken something and empower you to fulfill whatever ministry you could. You will now pray for the sick. If God has called you to be an intercessor in prayer, that you're somebody who can take a hold of the heavens and pray all night. When God anoints you, you're going to manifest something different than the other man. Because these gifts of the Spirit, these diversities of operations and so forth, the anointing upon one person will bring forth something different than the anointing upon another person. Because it's coming to quicken the seed that's inside of you. So there's a purpose. God predestinates the seed. He plants it inside of you. In His great wisdom, before the foundation of the world, He predestined whatever seed is in you, what you need to bring forth in your season. Then in due season, He sends the anointing upon the seed. And you will now start to manifest something. Exactly what it is that God called you to manifest. And that's what why God has diversities of operations and ministries and so forth inside of the body. But to be anointed in the Bible, it means to smear, So you're going to anoint something. And it means to consecrate or to set apart for a sacred work. So they anointed the holy vessels in the temple, saying that these vessels, with this anointing oil we put in here, are not to be used anymore for profane use. These are to be used for the service of Jehovah. So when they anointed Aaron as well, when Moses was told, go and wash him and clothe him and anoint him, anoint the priesthood, that was saying, that anointing that came on the priesthood was saying, these people are now different. They set aside to be priests unto the Lord.
Amen.
So when God sends the anointing to you, it's to separate you. It's to consecrate you for a purpose. He doesn't send the anointing for just haphazardly. It's sent to a specific person, specific people, in a specific season to achieve a specific purpose that God had. That's what this anointing comes for. So it's to consecrate, or the anointing comes to assign a person to a task. Remember when Elijah anointed Elisha? It was to assign him to a task.
Amen.
He had never brought forth that yet, but when that anointing came upon him, he started now to manifest whatever his divine purpose was, the task that he was called to bring forth. So figuratively it says, the anointing speaks of God's activity. So this is not the work of man. We can anoint with oil, but he anoints with the real oil, which is the Holy Ghost. So this is God's activity in appointing someone to an office, a function, or to give someone a task. That's how we can lay hands on people, but the prophet says we're laying on hands on people doesn't do anything. We're just sanctioning what God has already done. If you see somebody gets anointed, and somebody manifests something, and you can say, but this person is a preacher, this person's an evangelist, this person's whatever. You see it by the way they're manifesting. You lay hands on the person and say, we're just saying amen to what God has already vindicated in the life of the person. But he's the one who really lays hands on people, the prophet says. He says, our hands are just a confirmation of what you've already seen in the life of a person. But it takes that anointing, it takes that former aim, that experience to start to bring that into operation. And obviously it's got to grow and develop and all the things that it has to go through. So in the Bible, there was always a threefold anointing. You anointed a king. King Saul was anointed. David was anointed. You anointed a prophet. Elijah was anointed. Elisha, and you anointed the priest. So it was the prophet and the priest and the king. So the different functions in the kingdom of Israel. In order for God to manifest himself, to protect his people, you know, to minister to his people, to speak to his people, the prophet, the priest, and the king, each of them had to be anointed. And when they were anointed with the oil by, say, a prophet, the Holy Ghost himself came behind that act and literally quickened the people to be able to perform a certain function, to achieve a certain task. Like when Moses anoints Aaron to be the priest. Then the plague strikes the people. Then Moses says, Aaron, the plague is among the people. The man gets quickened. 100-something years old. He runs in, he takes the golden censer, runs into the midst of the people, making intercession, standing between the living and the dead. Can you see that was, he was consecrated to that. So the way that he manifests was different than the way Moses would manifest. The way that he manifests was different than the way that a king would manifest. You know, so that's what it is in the body. That's why whatever seed you've got in you, the anointing is going to bring life to the seed. And you're going to start to manifest your divine purpose. The mystery of his will, the mystery of his purpose for your life. And that's the only way it can start. It can't start any other way. It's his divine activity. He has to start the process. And he who starts the process will finish the process. Because the same one who sends the former rain to get the seed growing is the same one who sends the latter rain to bring the seed to perfection in the end. It's the same one who has his divine purpose. And that's why you've got to know that you're called. The prophet says if you don't know that you're called, you'll be defeated. You can't be guessing that you're called. You've got to know that you're called. And that one brother in questions and answers says, Brother Branham, how can I know that I'm called? He was a minister, wasn't sure about going back to preach. And the prophet says, he gives him certain things. But one of the things he says is that, he says, if God has called you, you can't rest night or day.
Amen.
And if God has called you to the bride, you may try to do other things, but you will never be satisfied. The promise is you may as well do yourself and God a favor and line up with your calling. Because you will never be satisfied outside of your calling. But in your calling, you know inside of your soul there's a certain something that takes place when you move into a certain position. Like we said with Samson, whenever he got near the Philistines, the Holy Ghost would come upon him. Why? Because he was anointed for that. He was anointed to be a deliverer. So whenever he got in the line of his calling, the anointing came to quicken him to do things that a mortal man couldn't do. And it's the same as you and I. When you are in your calling in the bride, you're in your calling in your position as a brother and a sister, whatever it is, it's going to empower you to do things that natural people can't do. You can say no to sin in this age where other people can't say no. You can put under your feet the fashions of this world when the rest of your friends can't put the fashions on you. You can overcome the music. You can overcome the entertainment. It's not because you're better than anybody, but you've been called. And with the calling comes the power to fulfill the calling. And that's what the former rain comes for. Is to quicken and empower you to start to manifest what is inside of the seed. To start to bring forth now his divine purpose for your life. So it always is like that. So Jesus was a prophet, priest, and king. But God deals with all his children the same way. He didn't deal with Jesus different than us. Jesus had to go and be baptized. And when he was baptized, the former rain came down. Then the Holy Ghost descended upon him. Then he started to manifest. You never hear in the first 30 years of his life him manifesting very much. He was always the royal seed of Abraham. That's what he was. But it took the rain in its season to come down when he was 30 years old to quicken and start him off into his ministry. And then he went forth in power. Then he started to manifest what the word wrote about him. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. What did he anoint him for? To preach deliverance to the captives, the opening of the sight to the blind, you know, to set at liberty them that are captive and so forth. That's what that anointing was sent forth to do. And Jesus had to go and have that something, that experience, that started the process inside of his life. And then you get to Matthew 17, hear ye him, when he's taken apart from the ceremony of adoption, and he shines forth with such a glory of God under his latter reign on Mount Transfiguration. And Brother Ramos says he's clothed in immortality in a prefigure. And that's the final anointing.
Amen.
So one is going to prepare you for the other. It's the same as you and the bride. There's one that has to start the process. But that former rain equips you now to be able to be led and guided and prevail and overcome in your trials as God now takes you step by step to your adoption, which is now the public ceremony when he wants to show, this is my beloved son.
Amen.
You know, that he has the same authority as me. Let's look at this in the life of David. We once had a look at some of these scriptures before. But David is a real good example. Because if we look at two scriptures, you'll see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we'll see the beginning of it all. Now David's calling, his ministry had to have a beginning. For him to be the greatest king of Israel apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, that to be a starting point. He didn't just come from nowhere. There had to be something that took place. 1 Samuel 16 verse 12. This is when Samuel was sent to him. 1 Samuel 16 verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So you see, the anointing comes with a purpose. If the prophet sent to anoint, there's a reason he said to that person at that time, because there's a divine purpose to be fulfilled. So God needs a king after his own heart. He's rejected Saul. And he's found himself the right person. But David's a young boy, 17 years old. And now the prophet comes and anoints him. And it says, the next verse, verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So that was his former aim. That to be something to start the process.
Amen.
He was anointed by the prophet. The Holy Ghost came upon him. And then he started to manifest things he hadn't manifested before. Now he kills a lion. He kills a bear. He kills Goliath. You see that quickening power. He's called to be a king. So now when the anointing, the Holy Ghost comes upon him, he starts to show forth these attributes of being a king. Even though he's young. He starts, you remember, before young, you couldn't kill a lion and a bear. No person in their own strength can do those things. But God empowered him now. And he started to see this expression. He started to see a manifestation inside of his life that went perfectly in line with his calling. He didn't have the same manifestation as Aaron the priest to go and run in the midst of the people and make intercession. He didn't have that. He wasn't called to be a priest in that sense. He wasn't called to be a prophet in the way that Samuel was. Although he was the prophet David. We know it had a type of Christ. But there was a purpose that this prophet was sent to him. Now that started things off with David. He was 17 years old. And look in 2 Samuel chapter 5. This is now 13 years later. When he's 30 years old. 2 Samuel 5 verse 3. After all of his temptations, after all of his trials, after all the things that he has to learn, and the final test, the test of forgiveness of Saul in the cave and so forth. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. Amen. Next verse, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So there was now the former reign, and there's the reign that brings him to perfection. The one that quickens him to the throne. The one that brings him to the fullness of his calling. Now he's now the king. And it's going to be like that. Now he had other experiences in the middle. And that's what, in order to keep the crop growing between the former and the latter reign, you still have showers of rain. That crop will wither if it doesn't continually get showers, if it doesn't continually get rain. Same as you in your experience. You'll start off maybe with such a powerful experience in the days of your youth as a believer. You can't rest just upon that experience.
Amen.
The prophet says if you don't experience the supernatural on a regular basis, you get cold and backslidden. You've got to continually get in his presence, have fellowship with him. There's got to be something that continually comes and revives and quickens you and allows you to push out further and develop what it is that you're supposed to express. But then comes the final reign, the latter reign, which now brings you right the way to the throne. Brings you right the way to the perfection that you were called to. So these were the two anointings of David. Just as much as Jesus at the Jordan and Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. You always have this for the sons and daughters of God. And every son and daughter of God has to come the same way. There's no other way that you can come. Now you can't reason yourself into the kingdom. You'll be overcome. Because the devil is real. He's a spiritual being.
Amen.
So unless you are quickened by a spiritual being, unless you're quickened by the Holy Ghost, you will never overcome the enemy. Because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. You know, so he's got to give you the whole armor of God, a spiritual armor.
Amen.
That's the only way that you can overcome. And then he becomes, like we said, the guide. He becomes the tutor. He becomes the teacher. He becomes the one that can lead and guide you from that starting point. He can teach you and rid you of this and give you the experience in that and show you the things that you need to know to bring you all the way to perfection. So if you bring it into our age, it's just like our age. The prophet preaches on this in Rejected King. Because Brother Branham was a prophet like unto Samuel. Because the prophet was living, he goes and he shows it in that message that there was the Saul system that had been before. Now, when the prophet came and preached, who did he first go to? He went to the Pentecostals.
Amen.
So he first went and he anointed them. Just as much as Samuel, when he came, he first went and anointed Saul. He didn't anoint David first.
Amen.
He first went to Saul. But then Saul was not faithful to his calling.
Amen.
Saul wasn't worthy of that anointing that was poured upon him because of his disobedience, so he was rejected. Remember, God said to Samuel, how long will you mourn over Saul since I've rejected him? And then now, Samuel was sent to David, and he was the real one. You see, he was the one, and he was going to become the rejected king. And we know, Brother Branham, the types and so forth of Samuel, there was the thunders at the harvest time and so forth. Notice harvest. I'm read that one in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 17, just to show the ministry of Samuel. You know, it has all those shadows and types inside of it, typing the prophet to us in a sense. 1 Samuel 12, verse 17, it says, he had gathered all Israel, Samuel, together, and the enemy was coming. And he says, verse 16, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? You see, it was in the harvest time. I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain. I always like it. The Lord always puts those things in his word to show. It was harvest time. And in harvest time, there was the thunders, and there was the rain. You know, the latter rain had to come, and so forth. So Samuel was specifically sent to David. He was sent for a specific purpose. And now we've had the days of the judges. We've had all the judges going through. Now some of them were good, some of them weren't so good. You know, Samson was 20 years a judge, others were 40 years a judge. And the final judge that God had was Eli. Remember, he came. And then everything really, really went rotten. And in order now for the Lord to bring in the kingdom, he had to send the eagle. He had to send the prophet. He had to send someone. And the prophet came right at the end of the time, and all the judges had failed. And everything which they had done had failed in the incomplete obedience. Some of them would rise up, deliver the people for a season. As soon as the judge died, the people would go back and worship the other gods. Luther came and he'd rise up for a season. People would worship. As soon as he died, the people went back to their gods once again, back to Rome. Wesley came because he did well for a season. As soon as he died, the people went back now to their idolatry once again. So the Lord looked at all those things. And God says, we need the eagle age. Amen. It had to come the time now. There had to come something to quicken and usher in the kingdom. Amen. So he couldn't just use a judge, he had to use a prophet. And in our age, he couldn't just use reformers, he had to send a prophet. Amen. Because a prophet comes with a specific anointing. Amen. And whenever God anoints, there's a reason for that anointing. Amen. When he anoints someone with the spirit of Elijah, there's a specific purpose for that anointing. Amen. That's what's needed in that season. That's going to bring forth the manifestation Amen. That is required in that time upon those vessels that he sent to anoint. So it's the eagle age to usher in the kingdom. Because the prophet says the kingdom came through David, then through Solomon. And Solomon types the millennium, the prophet says. It was the golden age of Israel. So you can see that just before the kingdom's being ushered in, David coming in, the prophet is sent on the scene. And he's sent for it with a specific purpose. If you go back to 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, to see how the Lord says it in 1 Samuel when he's rejected Saul. It says 1 Samuel 16, 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Like I say, you know, the prophet tried his best with those denominational systems. He took that anointing to those systems. But they just brought forth of their incomplete obedience. They couldn't keep the word. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. So the seed of God, the seed of Israel, was under the wrong headship. They were under Saul. God wasn't happy with that. So God said, I've got to bring my seed out from under the wrong headship and bring them under the right headship to bring them into the kingdom. So he sent his prophet. That's what it is. Samuel, to go and bring an anointing that was going to change the headship of the people from Saul to David, to bring them into the kingdom age. He says, fill up thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee. I will send thee. Behold, I send thee Elijah the prophet. I will send thee. Now, he was specifically sent. That was his commission. He was sent to a specific vessel to bring forth something in that age. Friends, when the message comes your way, if it comes your way in a genuine spiritual experience, there was no coincidence in that. That was absolutely the plan of God. When the message comes to you and transforms your life, though you may be immature, though you may be young like David, but when the prophet comes your way and that anointing comes on that message on you, it was sent to you. Amen. It was sent. It wasn't just a chance that it came. Amen. You might say, but it happened like this. It doesn't matter how it happened. Amen. God has different ways of doing it, but He sends His anointing in His season exactly to the place that it's supposed to go. So it says, I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a kingdom among his sons. Like I said, so when the anointing's going to come, this prophet's going to anoint this man, David, as a king. So when the Spirit comes on him, he's going to start manifesting the attributes of a king. He's going to be a deliverer. He's going to be a warrior. He's going to be a protector. He's going to bring forth those kind of things. So he's anointed. And like I said, immediately what happens? The bed, the lion, those things. He starts to manifest those things. So in order for this to happen, God sent a prophetic anointing and a prophetic age. And that's where we're living, friends. The prophet says we're living in the eagle age.
Amen.
In order to bring forth the purposes of God. There hadn't been a prophet from Samuel for hundreds of years. There hadn't been a prophet in our day for hundreds of years, for thousands, since Paul, since Agabus and those people. But a prophet messenger. It had been reformers and different people that had done their job well. And God had anointed them for a purpose. But friends, when you see God sending a prophet at a certain time, there's a very specific purpose that He sends that prophet. There's a very specific purpose. That's how the prophet says a prophet is a true sign that's overlooked. Now people will be looking at the signs in the skies and be looking at the signs among the nations and so forth. But they overlook the real sign that God sends, which is a prophet. Because when you see a prophet rising on the scene, he's sent for a purpose. It's the kingdom ages being ushered in. It's changing from the old system of the judges, and it's bringing us into the kingdom age. So he's sent divinely. He was commissioned, Samuel, by God. The prophet was commissioned in the cave. He was told, I am sending you forth to the nations of the earth. And just as much as Moses was given two signs, I'm giving you two signs. And he was sent forth. And as soon as the prophet went forth, there started to come manifestation to prove that he had been sent forth. And then came the Jannes and Jambres, and they came, and the prophet takes people by the left hand, or Roberts takes people by the right hand. It has to be like that. Because it's always, whenever the Lord has got his field sown, and he wants to bring forth manifestation, the enemy's going to come and sow his tares among the wheat as well. And the rain's going to fall on the just and the unjust. And that's what it came under the former rain. That great revival became like that. So he was sent. Now what was Samuel sent to do? He was sent to set spiritual principles in motion. He was to start something. But he never saw the end of it himself. Samuel never saw David seated on the throne. The prophet came, he was anointed, he fulfilled his commission perfectly. But he never saw the end of it. He was sent to bring that anointing, to bring the message, to come and anoint the vessel of the bride. And then he went to his reward. But now those spiritual principles are going to continue to work. Because the former rain has already gone forth. The teaching rain, the anointing has already come upon David to stop the process in his life. Nothing's going to stop that process. It doesn't matter what Saul does. Saul may chase him in the wilderness of Ziph and the forest of Hareth and all the different places. It doesn't matter what Saul, he may get within one step of David, but it's never going to work. Because a prophet has been sent to that vessel and he's been anointed to be king. And that anointing is going to empower him and protect him and keep him and lead him and guide him until he's seated on the throne. That's the way that it happened with him. There was a real purpose. We're in the rapture cycle. We know the process has already started. The shout, the voice, the trump. Nothing's going to stop it. No one can stop the rapture. Doesn't matter how evil the world gets. Doesn't matter how dark it gets each year. The cycle has already been started, divinely started. Nothing's going to stop the cycle. And that's why the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it. If he started the work with your own personal former rain, there's a latter rain coming. There's a latter rain coming. Because he's the one that starts the cycle for a specific purpose. So David was called. He was commissioned. Yeah? And he was anointed under that prophetic anointing. He was called, a specific call. He was commissioned to be king. And he was anointed to empower him, to keep him, to equip him, to fulfill that purpose. And he was singled out from the rest of his brethren. The rest of the brethren, I'm sure, were anointed in a sense. They were warriors and so forth in the army of Israel, the rest of David's brothers. But this son was singled out for a specific purpose. And the same as you and I. You may have brothers and sisters. You know, they may serve God in a certain sense. But there's a certain something that he had in his mind by sending his prophet to you with that message. And the proof of it was the message didn't come only to your word, but something spiritual came with that message and did something for you. That's why I don't ever think that it came your way by chance. Because David, with that visitation, is it not true? His life was permanently changed. Could David ever be the same again after Samuel came to him? He could never be the same because the Holy Ghost came upon him. And so another principle, and you need to look inside of your life and say, but did something happen to me which changed me that I can never be the same again? The prophet says, how will you know? He says, what will you? What are you now? What is your desire? What is that? That's the ambition of your soul. What is the love of your life? Is this something which you're trying to force yourself to do? Or is it something that comes from within? Has God have been a something that took place inside of you? That was the impact of the message. When Samuel came to David with the message and that anointing, there was a spiritual impact. There was a spiritual something took place. Is that how you started in the message? That's how I started in the message. And that's why you'll always thirst for more and more of him. You can never be satisfied just with a natural kind of a message. You want something real in your experience. You want something spiritual. When you're reading the message, listening to the message, you don't want it just to be the words of a man. But you want something supernatural there as well. Why? Because that's the atmosphere that you were born under. That's where the work began. That's the former ring. You'll never be satisfied with anything less. So, like the prophet says, he says, it's not just a sensation. And then there's no change inside of your life. There's many people have a sensation. They have some kind of something happens. And he says, some people feel something going down their back. Somebody feels this. That's good. The prophet says, but the only way I'll be able to tell what that spirit was by the effect that it has inside of your life. Amen. The change that it brings to you. There's got to be a permanent change. With David, it was a permanent change. It changed the entire course of his life. From that day, he was never the same. It set him on a certain spiritual path that wasn't his own. It was chosen for him. And his life was transformed. Completely. From that day, David was never the same. Certain things started to happen in his life. Certain things started to take place. Yes, he kills Goliath. He has all the great testimonies. But then what happens? Then Saul starts to look at him with evil eyes. Then Saul plots against him, speaks against him. David has to flee with his life and all the things that he has to go through after that. Now, when the anointing comes your way, it'll put you in trials and tribulations that your brethren never go through. Your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers never have to go through the things that you go through. The trials, the sorrow, the heartache many times as well. The valleys and those experiences that you don't understand, it's all to develop character. Amen. It's the tutor, it's the former rain, the Holy Ghost is leading and guiding your footsteps. Because character is not a gift, it's a victory. So there's got to be overcoming, and to overcome, it's going to lead you to things that you need to overcome. There's got to be sicknesses that you don't understand. There's going to be misunderstandings with your brethren. There's going to be all manner of things, but every one of them is for a purpose. The prophet says God is behind every move. He's testing the reaction to an action. He's trying to do something to the seed that's in you so it continues to develop, it continues to grow. He doesn't want it just to stay as a little shoot, which came up under the former rain. But he wants you to continue to grow and express, and the leaves come forth and the tassel comes forth. He wants it to be a progression in your spiritual life. That's what he's called you to. So it changed him. I just put it in here. There was a presence that came. There was a presence which was a divine energy. The Holy Ghost. It's the divine energy. And what did it do for him? It gave him understanding. He started to see things different in his life. Before, all he could think about was his father's few sheep. Now he started to see the purpose of God. That started to unfold itself more and more. Now he started to understand the rejection of Saul. He started to understand God's purposes for his age. He could never have understood those things naturally himself. He had to get something that gave him power to endure. To endure, even when he ran out of strength. That time when they went to battle with the Philistines, or that town, and then the people came and the enemy's army came and took all their wives and stuff. I can't remember the name of the place. And David came back, and all of the wives and all of them had been taken captive, and the people were speaking, the men of Israel were speaking of stoning David. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. It's not natural, friends.
Yes.
When everybody's against you, there's got to be a certain power in your experience to raise you up. When people can't raise you up, he will raise you up. When there's things you can't understand, there's got to be a certain spiritual intelligence in your experience to help you to understand the things you would never be able to understand. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. That's what the former rain comes for, to equip that seed. To get it started on the way so they can manifest itself, to give it the energy, the quickening power that it needs to start to develop itself in the kingdom, in the purpose that it was sown for. So he's given this. And all of this that he's got, David, when that anointing comes, that Holy Ghost comes, it's leading him now to the fullness of the promise. That's what God's mind is. Everything he's going through, God has a mind on the throne. God knows I've got to get my son to the throne, but it's going to be a process to bring him there. Just as much as the pillar of fire led Israel to Canaan, that same anointing you received in your soul, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will lead you to the promise as well. It's the same God. He led his son Israel to the promised land. He leads you as his sons and daughters to the promise for your life, the mystery of his will for you. But it's got to have a starting place. I just put you as well that David, with that experience, had made him aware that he was a man of destiny. The prophet says he realized he wasn't just the son of Charles and Ella Branham, but he was the son of God. It makes you start to realize, but hey, I'm different. No, I don't belong in the chicken yard. Now I know why I'm different than people that are here. You start seeing things different. You start understanding the way that you're made and the things that you've been through, which you couldn't understand before. There's got to be something that comes and does that for you. And that's why you need your former rain experience. You need that, the tutor, the guide. You need the comforter. All the different names the Holy Ghost has given. And Jesus says, when I, it's good, it's not, what is the word? It says, it's expedient for you that I go. Because if I don't go, then the comforter won't come. The Father won't send his promise upon you. But you go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise, the Holy Ghost of promise to come upon him. And the prophet says those seeds were in the upper room and then the rain came down. And now all of a sudden Peter starts to express who he really is. All of a sudden we start to see the real Stephen. You start to see the real Bartholomew. You start to see the real Matthew. But never really seen them before. They came to that former rain to bring the seed to life. It had to be like that. That's why these things have a divine purpose. So when the Lord now sends him, David gets anointed by the prophet. And now, when God sends prophets, it's critical junctures in time.
Amen.
It's like in the days of Noah. It's always those critical seasons, critical junctions in time. And if you want to just say, but I don't need a prophet like the denominations say, they're going to see it down the way. When the latter rain comes and there's a quickening to the rapture and then into a tribulation period, they're going to see there was a specific purpose that this prophet was sent for. He was to anoint a bride unto a rapture. He was to anoint a people unto a body change. He was to come to bring anointed people to come into the fullness of the kingdom. That's exactly what he was anointed to do. And the prophet says his anointing is upon the message of his coming. That's where the anointing is. It's on the message of his coming. Just as much as Samuel came with an anointing, a horn of oil, and he came with a message. And he anointed David. When he received that message, the Holy Ghost came upon him and it completely transformed who he was. And that's why in these great junctures, God always commissions and anoints his elect with a prophet. Now you really think of that. It's a very good thing to think about. The privilege of being anointed by a prophet.
Hallelujah.
Not just being anointed by a reformer or people gone by. Men of God. But God chose you to be anointed by a prophet. Amen. Just as much as David was anointed by a prophet. Amen. That was a great privilege. And always at the critical junctures in the history of God's kingdom, the process of his plan, he sends prophets to anoint his predestined vessels. Yeah. That's why he says, I send to you, Elijah.
Amen.
I send you, I like Brother Donnie Reagan once said, he says, you look at that verse, it's very interesting. He says, I, God, send to you the bride, Elijah. He puts Elijah third. God is there first, then he says, I'm sending to you. That shows God's purpose.
Amen.
God's purpose in sending a prophet was for the benefit of his bride.
Amen.
Is to quicken his bride, is to Amen. Bring that anointing upon the bride, lest I smite the earth with a curse. So you can see what happens if you miss that anointing. Hey friends, when it comes harvest time and the sickle's been cast in and you miss the former rain, are you going to be ready as a seed for the harvest rain, the latter rain, if you never responded correctly to the former rain? If you never had that experience to quicken you and start you off on the way, there's going to be nothing to come to perfection in the end.
Amen.
That's why, friends, this onus upon us as well to make sure that when we pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
That when we get in the Word, we get in the Spirit.
Amen.
That we really try to take as full advantage of this anointing upon the message of His coming, because that's the only thing that's going to prepare us to come to the place that when that latter rain comes, it's going to have the right material to work with. It's got to be dealt with now. That's the way that it is.
Amen.
These critical junctures. That's why in the eagle age now, he sends the prophet to us. But he's going to send Moses and Elijah to 144,000. Because he has a purpose for them. So he's got to bring a specific anointing to them. He says, I will pour upon the house of David the spirit of grace and supplication. He says, there will be a fountain opened in the house of David for the cleansing of sin. There'll be a great mourning and so forth, but he's going to have to send forth an anointing. And that anointing is going to come with these two eagles, Moses and Elijah, to bring forth 144,000 to achieve a specific purpose in that season and that critical juncture in his plan, just as much as he sends the prophet to us. So Samuel fulfills his commission, goes his way, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David. And Samuel is satisfied now. The prophet at the end of his ministry was satisfied. He knew, I've finished my course.
Amen.
I've done what needs to be done. I was sent with a specific commission, store up the food. I was sent with a specific commission to bring forth this anointing. This anointing now is upon the message. This message is going to go into all the world. It's going to fall into the hands of the predestinated. It's going to bring forth of its own kind. He says, watch and wait and see. It wasn't poured out for everyone. It was poured out for the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And that's why there comes a transference as we come to a close. The same anointing that came upon Samuel to give him the vision, to show him, go to David's house, go and to Jesse's house, go and separate this young man, go and anoint him as king. The same anointing that manifests in that way upon the prophet comes upoupon David and anoints him to fulfill that vision.
Amen. Amen.
So the same anointing that came on the prophet to show him the vision of the bride is the same anointing that comes upon you and I to fulfill the vision of the bride.
Amen.
There's a transference of this anointing from the prophet now to David.
Amen.
It's got to be like it. But like I say, the anointing manifests in different ways. It's not going to manifest upon David the same way it does upon Samuel. It's going to manifest for him to fulfill his ministry.
Amen.
His calling to fulfill his purpose in his age. So that same anointing now that equipped Samuel divinely to go and anoint this man, this young boy, is the same one that equips David now to make it all the way to be seated on the throne. That same anointing is going to watch over him. That's why this former rain, the Holy Ghost, is a token. It's the potential. It comes to unlock the potential in the seed. The word potential means capable of development into actuality.
Amen.
So potential means there's something in you which is capable of being developed into something. And it takes that anointing to start the process. So that it's no longer just potential in you, but it starts to develop itself and starts to manifest itself. And then we start to see, but God called this brother to preach. God called this sister to be someone who is a mighty warrior and testifying to people. God called this brother, he's got a gift of healing. God called this sister, she has a gift of speaking in tongues. Whatever. But it's the anointing that comes upon that seed. And the potential that was in the seed now can start to express itself. So David, from the day that he was anointed by Samuel, potentially he was on the throne. From the day that you received this message and you received the seeding power of the Holy Ghost, potentially you already raptured. You're already raptured. We're just waiting for things to unfold themselves according to his program. Let's finish with a couple of scriptures on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read verse 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 22. This is what Paul is saying to the believers of the Corinthians. He says, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." That's what the former rain is. It's the earnest. It's the down payment. You haven't got the fullness yet, but you've received the down payment. He's put the deposit inside of you. And it's not just an intellectual something. You start to see it manifest itself. You start to see it express itself. And as it goes further, develops and expresses more and more, as you give him more opportunity to express himself. That's what it is. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says it again to the Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. "In whom also you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth and gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Which is what? Verse 14. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance." Amen. It's the down payment of our inheritance. Amen. So when David received the oil on his head and he received the Holy Ghost in his experience, the Holy Ghost came upon him, excuse me, that was the earnest of his inheritance. That was a down payment. That was a surety that was given to him. You shall be seated on the throne. And no matter what the devil did, no matter what the kingdom of the enemy did, it didn't matter. He had the earnest of his inheritance. He had the coin, like the prophet says. He can be just as happy as if he's got the loaf of bread. He just has to get himself from where he is to get down to the shop, and he's going to have his loaf of bread. He's got the down payment, the earnest of his inheritance. And that's what the former rain is. It's the earnest of our full inheritance. The former rain coming down in the 40s and 50s was an earnest, a proof. We're in the day of the rapture. We're in the season now of the fullness of the kingdom. Because when the former rain comes, nothing's going to stop that cycle from continuing on. Amen. There's going to be a latter rain. There's going to be something that comes and brings harvest to the wheat. And it's going to, brings maturity to the wheat and brings maturity to the tares. There's going to be something that brings them both, quickens them both to maturity. And friends, this world is getting quickened very rapidly to maturity.
Amen.
Very rapidly.
Amen.
It's like there's a quickening power of evil in Obama. A quickening power of evil in some of these church leaders in there. Brother Will sent us that one of that lesbian priest. What was she saying? Ah, brother.
She's a lesbian priest, and she was saying we must remove
the crucifixes from the church and put the Muslim crescent
in the Christian churches.
Friends, that's a quickening power upon a seed. That's a quickening power that's coming to quicken her to her harvest. The binding of the tares. And that's what the World Council of Churches says. It's the binding of the tares, the prophet says. But there's got to come a quickening power. The latter rain is going to come. It's going to quicken the bride to the fullness of maturity. Quicken the denominations into the World Council of Churches. And then the great Son of Man, I think Revelation 14, his commission, set forth your sickle. He harvests the wheat first. Then he harvests the grapes and throws them now into the wine press of the indignation and wrath of God. And there's a judgment upon the tares in the tribulation period. But that's why he's saying to us, who is the earnest of our inheritance?
Amen.
Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Amen.
And that's why if you are a genuine believer and you genuinely have been called and commissioned under this prophetic anointing of Elijah in our age, of the seventh angel with the breaking forth of the seals of redemption in this age, you know inside of yourself You don't need someone to tell you. The denominational people will tell you different. There's something different about you. There's something different about the anointing that is upon those people. It's a specific anointing sent to a specific people for a specific purpose in a specific season. That's what we're living in. And friends, we really should appreciate the Lord for His goodness to each and every one of us. And all of our trials and all of our troubles, like with David, it's for a purpose. It's to equip us. Because the anointing doesn't equip you. It's your character that equips you. The anointing empowers you. The anointing gives you power to overcome in your trials. To understand, to hear from headquarters when you need fresh instructions in the midst of battle. But it's your character that puts you upon the throne. And that's why David receives his former reign at the age of 17. But he only gets his latter reign at the age of 30. And those were not easy years, those 13 years in there. And friends, since the time that you and I received this message, it was so glorious and the birds sang so sweet and the sky was so blue. There's been a lot of hard things we've been through. There's been a lot of sorrow and a lot of difficult times and things you can't understand. But it's all His divine purpose. He's trying to develop the character which matches the anointing to put you upon the throne. Because he that overcometh shall be seated with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and am seated with my Father in his throne. And that's the promise to Laodicea. Friends, it's an exciting time, but it's a treacherous time as well. We need to stay under the wings of the great eagle. We need to stay in the secret place of the Most High. We need to stay, spend as much time in your soul as you can in the presence of the anointing of the eagle. And yield yourself to Him and allow that seed to express itself in whatever purpose and destiny that God has for you inside of your life. And that is your earnest. That is the down payment of the full redemption. That when He comes at the end, when the last name has been redeemed and has come in, He rises, casts out the accuser. Satan is cast out. The bride goes up.
Amen.
That's the fullness of redemption. To wit, the body change. The changing of this body. Let's look forward to that, friends. Let's worship the Lord. Let's seek Him. As that scripture said in Zechariah 10, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Don't just take it for granted. Ask Him for it. Say, Lord, send your rain. There shall be showers of blessing. Lord, we appreciate the mercy drops, but send the showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We're asking rain in the time of the latter rain. Let's stand, let's sing that song. Let's ask for rain in the time of the latter rain. That's our desire. The former and the latter rain. I don't know what the time is. The clock isn't working. I don't have a watch, so if I went over, I'm sorry. If I didn't take long enough, apologies. But what's the time? Ah, good stuff. You did well. Let's sing that song. There shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again.
Of blessing.
Lord God. Father, how we pray, O Father, ask your pride, O Lord Lord God. The Lord, you may prepare us, O Lord, in your own way, Father, Lord God. The Lord, you may prepare, Lord, for our hearts, O Lord God. The Lord, you may be sprinkled from any evil conscience, O Lord, Father. Fully consecrated, O Lord, unto you, O Father, Lord God. We pray to Father that you, Lord, Father, can have your way, O Lord God. The Lord, our ways, Lord, Father, may be turned away with the Father we are today. Lord, Father, we are the clay, O Lord God. But you, Lord, Father, the potter, O Lord God. Lord, you know the type of vessel, Lord God, that you need, O Father, Lord God. You need to never run life, O Lord God. This day we pray, O Father, that you may mold us, O Lord God. No matter, Lord, the strain, O Father, Lord God. No matter, Lord, the pain, O Father, we want it, O Lord God. That we may be, Lord, for example, what, Lord, Father, you want, Lord. That, Lord, you may fit in, Lord, the perfect will, Lord God. Thank glory, thank power, Lord, Father, Lord God. Oh, thank commission, Lord, to everyone, O Lord God. Father, for you are the great composer, Lord, Father. Lord, we come, Lord, Father, before thee, O Lord God. Lord, Father, that you may, Lord, tune us up, O Lord God. In time, Father, great, Lord, for the symphony, O Lord God. That we will play, Lord, in that harmony, O Father, Lord God. Oh, to the glory of thy name, O Lord God. Help your bride, O Lord Father. We pray, O Father, Lord God. For your young ones, Lord, the youth, O Father, now miss the Lord God. Oh, Father, the time draw at night, O Father, Lord God. Lord, indeed, Lord, Father, we need, O Father, Lord God. Oh, put the former, Lord God, in the latter rain, O Lord Father. Lord, we pray for your mercy upon us, O Lord God. We pray for your grace upon us, O Lord God. Continue, Father, to use your servants, O Lord God. Ask for your mouthpiece, O Lord God. Oh, to bring forth, Lord, exact words, O Lord God. And to mold us and shape us, O Lord God. Into, Lord, Father, that form, O Lord God. And Lord, you may use us, O Lord, to thine own glory, O Father, Lord God. For Lord, if you tarry for long, O Lord God. Oh, we be the ones, O Lord, to protect for Lord God. Oh, this is the Father, the powerful message, Lord God. That you brought under us, O Lord God. And we want to be prepared, O Father, Lord God. And now, Lord, that you've granted us your grace, O Lord God. All of your servants, O Lord God. Who have been inspired, O Lord God. Who have been called, O Lord God. Who have been chosen, O Lord God. Or who have been molded, O Lord God. In thine own image, O Lord God. Oh, in that vessel, Lord, in which, O Father, Lord God, that please the deal, Lord, Father, and our field, O Lord God, or to bring forth your word, O Lord God. We pray that your anointing may continue, O Father, Lord God, or to be, O Father, all those wives, O Lord God. The Lord, Father, may grant us the hearts of heaven, O Father, or flesh, O Lord God, that your word may come, O Father, Lord God, and find them over the fruitful ground, O Lord God, or to dwell upon, O Lord, Father, Lord, that we may bear for all those fruits, O Lord God, of life, O Lord, to the glory of thy name, O Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight, O Lord God. Lord, we part here, O Heaven, Father, Lord, live in your presence, O Lord God. The Lord, we part here, O Father, Lord God, believe in, O Lord God. The tower be us, O Lord God. May you strengthen us, O Lord, overcome, O Lord God. All trials and temptations, O Father, Lord God. Let me rise, O Father, Lord God. Let in this evil age, indeed, O Father, Lord God. We may be the light, O Heaven, Father, Lord. Shine and bright, O Lord God. That we may be, O Heaven, Father, the ones, O Lord God. We hold the hands of the blind, O Lord God. And lead them, O Father, to you, O Lord God. For this is, Lord, Father, Lord. Our calling and our purpose, O Lord God. O Father, we pray, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Grant us, O Father, the fullness of this latter rain, O Lord God. The Lord, we may fulfill that purpose, O Lord God. We thank you for tonight, O Lord God. We bless your name, O Father. We give you the honor, O Lord God. And the praise tonight, O Father. Bless yourself, O Lord God. O Father, what's to the Father, faithfully, O Lord God. O before thy children, O Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you've granted thy word, O Lord God. We pray that you say, O Father, Lord. Continue to use him, O Father, mighty, O Lord God. O to the glory of thy name, Lord. To the perfection, Lord, of thy saints, O Lord, Father, we are this day, Lord. Bless us now, O Lord, as we pray, O Father. Even as we tell you, O Father, Lord God, you be with us, O Lord. Keep us, O Father, the saints, the people here, O Father, Lord God. Be with them, Lord, the children, the parents, Lord, Father, the mothers, O Lord God. Bless them, O Lord, and keep each and every one of them this day, Lord. And if you tarry, O Lord God, we shall meet again, Lord, Father. We have the same joy, O Father, Lord God. Desire, Lord, for more of you, Lord. Hungry for you, O Lord God, and you, O Heavenly Father. May fill us, O Lord, and feed us, O Father, once again, Lord. We thank you, Lord, we bless your name tonight. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let's finish with that song as we dismiss the original life. The original seed. Aren't you glad you're the original seed? Don't you love the original life? And the original word, it's what we believe.
Amen.
Amen.
The original seed. The original word. It's what I believe. Somebody
Yeah.